If you ask the best in the world the single greatest secret to success, they'll smile and give a gentle laugh. You're asking the wrong question. Being extraordinary is not a single element. It cannot be distilled down to one thing. We're told that being a success is a magical thing that happens in a place you'll arrive. The hard part is that this long-held truth is the biggest lie. Extraordinary features humans that have reached the top of their field and become extraordinary humans. The door to being extraordinary is now open. Will you walk in? Andrew McMahon is the former singer and lyricist for Something Corporate and Jack's Mannequin, and now tours with his current band, Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness. He has been nominated for an Emmy Award, is the founder of the Dear Jack Foundation, which helps young adults diagnosed with cancer. You can find out more about him over at www.andrewmcmahon.com. Welcome to the Create Your Own Life Show, Andrew McMahon.
Hello, my friend. How's it going?
Oh, I got to tell you, Andrew, I am so stoked about this interview. My family has loved your music for years and years and years. So whenever I get to chat with a musician I really love, it's an awesome thing. So thanks for taking some time out, man.
It's my pleasure.
So let's kind of just open up at the beginning, man. You have done so much in your career. What's your story?
it's a long and varied winding tale. But I guess my story is if I'm starting at the beginning, I was born in Massachusetts and sort of made my way across the country from the East Coast to the Midwest and eventually to California around high school. Started my first band. I started writing songs when I was 9. I'm a piano player and a singer and songwriter, and started my first band in high school and was signed kind of right a year after I graduated high school with a band called Something Corporate, and toured for several years with those guys. Made some pretty big records with them, and eventually went on to start another project called Jack's Mannequin. I think the story gets particularly interesting in the fact that during the first outing with Jack's, I was diagnosed with cancer. Survived that cancer, made a couple more records with those guys, and then somewhere along the way decided to change it up again, and that's the chapter I find myself in now. I've made now 3 records under the name Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness. Have been really fortunate that I have a beautiful little girl and a wife of 12 years, and in the midst of this project, had my my first what you would consider kind of large, breakout commercial success with a couple of hit songs off of the records that I put out with the Wilderness. And really just at the core of it, most of my story is just that I'm a singer songwriter and a traveler, and have been doing pretty much everything I can for the majority of my life to get my songs heard by as many people as will listen.
Absolutely. And I've got to say, I love a lot of the being a new father myself. I love a lot of the videos you put up of your daughter and yourself on Instagram. It seems like you guys really get to enjoy a lot of the musical journey with her.
Yeah, she's my buddy for sure. And she loves music and she loves travel as much as I do. And I'm fortunate that sort of the way that my career has developed, it's made it possible for my wife and for her to travel with me a good amount and see the world, so we can see the world together.
You mentioned how young you started writing music. Like, was there something that influenced you to do that, or where did that love of music at such a young age come from?
Well, I was always surrounded by music. My parents were children of the 60s. My father, he was at Woodstock, and those albums, were always sort of in my home. And I'm the youngest of 5 kids, so my older brothers and sisters were always bringing whatever was new and exciting into the house. From a very young age, I was listening to everything from the Beatles to Michael Jackson to Paul Simon, the Heartbreakers, U2, REM. That was a huge part of my upbringing. It wasn't really until we had a close family member. My mother's brother passed away when I was just about turning 9 years old. And We always had a piano in the house, and I found myself kind of processing that grief for the loss of my uncle by writing music. It was just sort of a strange inclination that found me sitting at the piano and starting to sing and write music, within a couple of weeks of his passing, and that became my sort of, from that moment forward, kind of my tool and my way that I process the.
I got it. Well, you mentioned in 2005, the diagnosis with leukemia and how that affected everything with the first Jack's Mannequin record and whatnot. For you, how did, cancer battle affect the trajectory of your career, and has it changed your perspective at all?
I guess it's hard for me to say how it affected the trajectory, because I'll never know what could have been or would have been had it not happened. I think largely that question, I think that question loomed large for me for a long time. And certainly in moments in my life and my career, I found that being a source of some frustration and resentment and something that I kind of buried and didn't really share with people, that the process of surviving cancer and sort of the machinations of what it means to have survived and how it plays out and how it played out in my life and certainly how it plays out in the lives of other young people has become a real interest to me. And it's definitely part of the reason why I started a nonprofit for young adults who are facing cancer diagnoses or who have survived them. As it relates to the career, I mean, there was a real moment of, a crisis of confidence that came along with it. It made writing music very difficult. It made doing just anything difficult. I've said it before, but there's just a certain sense when you face death at a really young age. It turned all the little questions into life or death questions.
Sure.
Literally you could be paralyzed by just about anything, something that would be as simple as like picking an album cover or deciding what restaurant to eat at night. All of a sudden it's like, it's this painstaking thing, when you've come close to death, at least it was for me. I struggled with it for a long time, but it's been something that has given me perspective. I've learned a lot about myself in the years following my illness, and having my daughter, I think, was a real brought a lot of that full circle for me, because I wouldn't have had my daughter had I not been ill, and I think that if nothing else, gave a lot of meaning to the disease, where I think for a lot of years I struggled with figuring out the why of all of this, if that makes sense.
No, totally. And I guess like looking back, like to you, to look what you've done now with the Dear Jack Foundation, like is it kind of, I guess, surreal to realize like the level of help you've actually been able to be to others, based on, the disease that you had?
Yeah. I mean, if you had told me when I was, 20 years old and touring on my first album and having kind of our first, having my first success and all that kind of stuff, that, I would be doing the work that I'm doing now, and that philanthropy would be such a huge part of my day-to-day life. And that a difficult experience of mine might lead to, to helping others make their experience a little bit easier. I never would have believed that. It certainly has given my life a lot of meaning, and I'm grateful for it. I never would have expected it. I probably wouldn't have asked for it if I was given the option, but it's pretty remarkable now, 13 years later, after that whole ordeal, being able to look back at my life, and you do this, especially early on when you're a survivor of any trauma. I think you look at your life before and after the trauma, and there's a lot of comparing of those two lives. And I think for some time, if if you're being honest, there can be a yearning for the simplicity of what life was before the trauma, you know. And
sure.
I can honestly say now that when I look back, I've had such a rich life following my illness, you know, and I've really had such a depth of experience and met so many wonderful people and got to create things that I love. And, you know, and it has really added up, I think, to the biggest lesson of that whole experience. And the thing I try to impart to people is that, you know, you don't get better all of a sudden, you know, and life doesn't just make sense all of a sudden, but over time, if you can string together enough great memories, you know, and stay conscious through it, that you do build a really awesome life. And I feel really blessed for the life that I have now. But what a ride, you know. And I think that's what it's supposed to be. if it were easy, you know, I'm sure it would be half as satisfying. So.
And well, and I think it goes back to the point of like, if there were no pain, we would not know what joy was. You know what I mean? We have to have this comparison point, really. So, Andrew, you mentioned your career with Something Corporate, with Jack's Mannequin, and now with Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness. And you've had a lot of transitions in your career. For you, when have you decided that, you know, it's really time to end off on a project and move on to the next? Because it does feel like there's been very different creative paths with each project for you.
It's just a feeling, you know. The best way that I can explain it, and I think, you know, for fans, at least by now they're getting used to it. I don't think I surprise people with this stuff anymore. I think, you know, at first, like leaving Something Corporate to go to Jack's Mannequin, I think there was definitely the sense of like, are you crazy? You know, like this is so good. Like, you know, fans would you know, told me I was nuts, and so did a lot of people in my business as well. But I guess for me, I get a sense that like a chapter in my life is closing and a new one is opening up. And there are times when, especially, you know, in the case of Something Corporate and Jack's Mannequin, when you're kind of carrying around a moniker or a qualifier, like this is who I am. I am this band, or I am this name, or this thing. Sometimes it makes that feeling of exploration or that sense that you're entering new territory. There's somehow like a lack of honesty there, or at least that's how it felt to me. You know, when I decided to wind Jack's Mannequin down, I mean, for very much the reasons that we're talking about here, you know, the Jack's really ended up being symbolic of what was this like very hopeful, fresh start with a new project that turned into this very turbulent, you know, fight. And you know, obviously it was something that I survived, but it was fraught with a lot of discomfort and hardship and all the things that went along with that. And so I really felt like with Jax especially, it was like I was just ready not to be Jack's Mannequin anymore. I was ready to be my, you know, to do something new. And that's how I think I just, you know, you feel the wind start to blow, you know, and at times there's a moment where you resist it. I've found over time that if you resist those things, you know, they end up manifesting in less healthy ways. So I just tend to try and listen to my intuition. And if it feels like I'm not being honest with myself or the presentation of a certain project doesn't seem like it makes sense for me anymore, then I do what most would consider career suicide, and I change my name and I start over again.
I love that though, because it does feel like, you know, it's almost like different seasons in what you're creating, right? Like it's the seasons in your life that goes along with the music you're creating. And it feels like where you are now is kind of where you're supposed to be. And I guess looking at what you've created over the years and all the songs that you've written, is there one for you that holds a more special place in your heart than others?
A particular song? Wow. That's tough. I mean, you know, it's funny. It's not really even one that we play very often. We did it at a time, you know, but it's the first one that came to mind. And I don't know if it's necessarily because it's the best song I've written or just because of what it what it represents. But there was a song called Learn to Dance on that very first, on that Pop Underground EP that I put out, that has Synesthesia on it as well. And, there's something about that particular song, just because, you know, it sort of reflects, I think, a period of time that had been particularly difficult. That was from a much earlier part of earlier sort of piece of my life. But then it has these sort of premonitions in it about, you know, singing songs to your unborn children and things like that. And I remember that was like right around the time that my wife and I were, you know, had no intention of having a kid. And then all of a sudden sort of like, as I wrote those words, it sort of became this thing that we were like going to have a kid, you know, like there's just a thread of something, I think, in that song that is about rising up and moving forward in the face of difficulty and choosing to do it with sort of joy and with vigor and with a sense of fearlessness or a sense of faith. And so I'll pick that one. I mean, but you know, that's just because it's the first one that came to mind. I don't know if it's the right answer or not.
No, I totally understand. I just had Scott Bradley from Postmodern Jukebox on yesterday, and he goes, you know, I really feel like it's hard to pick just one of my children above all the other. It's so difficult because each one meant something special. Well, Andrew, I know you have to get to sound check, so I want to respect your time, and I got just a couple more questions for you here.
Yeah, go for it, man. I'm happy.
If you had to look at, you know, let's say, you know, 21-year-old Andrew, what's something that he believed that, you know, Andrew, you know, closing in on 40 now, does not believe?
I think probably taking a moment to breathe would probably be the thing that a 21-year-old Andrew did not believe in as much as a 36-year-old Andrew does. I was always like, I still suffer from this, but I think there's a sense in me at that point, and which, you know, is very much a sense that most young people, especially those who are successful, feel, which is that you must keep pressing, and that to stop would be to leave the door open for somebody else and miss an opportunity. And while I think there is some truth in having an incredibly diligent and hardworking approach to life, there are some sacrifices that can be so monumental, both interpersonally and to your physical health, that I think I would probably recommend just knowing when to slow down for a second and you know, smell the roses, so to speak.
I feel like that's a theme that comes up for us more and more on this show is sometimes when you're creating and when you're doing things at a high level, you don't stop and you don't really like reflect on it and take the time. Now, if we're looking at your biggest skill, Andrew, what would you say that is, and how do you feel you developed that?
My biggest skill, that is a really, really tough, that is a really tough thing to say. I mean, I feel like when I'm at my best, you know, the skill I've honed that it, to some extent I'm most proud of, and I'm just going to speak from a professional standpoint at this point, but I think it's performance. You know, I think it's trying, you know, to master a connection between myself and an audience, and I think the development of that is really about knowing who you are on a stage and trying to be true to that and trying to make sure that that audience knows who you are too. And I think the development of that is just by really working my ass off every day on a stage and every day as I'm preparing for a tour to try and figure out how to deliver people a show that's special and that makes them, hopefully has them leaving a show with a, a, a sense of joy that maybe they didn't have when they walked in the door. You know, I think that
absolutely,
you know, what we're, you know, I songwriting is my number one, you know, but I'd say a close second is my, is how do I take those songs and turn them into an experience for people that is a little bit of a break from this fucking cacophony of noise and politics and echo chambers. And, you know, I think now more than ever, we need live music and we need good entertainment that's soulful, that isn't just divertive or, you know, some excuse not to pay attention to what's going on in the world, but instead some excuse to give people some extra firepower of positivity and love to take into the world, you know. And I think that that's the skill that, you know, especially through this wilderness project, I've been working so hard to develop, is how to create a sense of wonder in the show so that people leave with that sense of wonder and hopefully bring that into the world, because we could use more of that and less of whatever the hell else is going on at this particular moment.
I can totally appreciate that, because I feel like if you look at it, like, there are so many people that are talented singers and songwriters, but it is that performance and that ability to really bring that to others. That is that next level thing. I don't know if you've seen the Netflix documentary, I believe it's called 5'2", about Lady Gaga and her experience as a performer. And it is really that thing of being able to perform that makes an artist next level, I really think.
Yeah. And I think it's also, it's your public service. You know, I mean, making songs that move people is, you know, obviously that is the number one, you know, the greatest joy in a certain sense for me, you know, is hoping that a song that I write and a thing that moves me moves somebody else. But to have that vehicle of the stage to sort of string all those songs together and try and give people, you know, give people a show they don't feel like they could have gotten anywhere else if they didn't buy the ticket to your show. I mean, that is, you know, that's in a strange way, it is really what I live for at this point. And it's fun, you know. It's like it's what makes it possible to be, you know, in your 30s and still sort of effectively, you know, doing the same stuff I was doing, you know, like in my living room with like my sister making like dances to try and get on Star Search when I was like, you know, 8, you know, like I just get to do that. I just get to do that on a higher level with a bunch of talented musicians and set designers and engineers and lighting, you know, lighting designers. And we, you know, like, there's just something really cool about being like, I'm a showman, you know, like I take that so seriously now. It used to be like, I wrote a bunch of songs and we'd throw set lists together and me and my band would go play. And like, now it's like, I'm like, no, I'm going to come out here and like try and author an experience for people every night. And that's it's not a skill I had anticipated would be the thing that I would focus on in the way that I have, but it is really, it's become a huge joy for me.
Very cool. One final question for you, Andrew, just as we wind down here, if we are far in the future and we can look at everything you've created in your career and some of that legacy with a quote in your tombstone, what does that look like?
Oh God, I have no idea. That's brutal. I mean, it'll sound corny, I'm sure, but you know, for me, I just hope that people take some truth away from what I did and were able to use these songs and these shows as some form of, you know, catharsis and a little bit of relief from whatever their struggle of the day might have been.
Very cool. Well, Andrew, thank you so much for hanging out with us today. For all the people listening, if they want to connect with you, if they want to learn more, where's the best place to go?
Come to the show. We've got an amazing tour that we just launched. Go see Upside Down Flowers. I think it's a really special hybrid of theater and rock show. And I really am very proud of it. So I'd say come to the show. Come see me. Come say hi. We'll have a party. We'll throw a party for you.
Very cool. Well, Andrew McMahon, thank you so much for joining me on the Create Your Own Life show today.
Yeah, thanks a lot, man. Have a great day.